Have you seen the cost of eggs lately?
With these prices, we'd barely be scraping by if it weren't for Dave.
What's Dave?
It's the banking app that advances us up to $500 instantly. There's no interest, no late fees, or even credit checks. No joke. We can get extra cash for anything our family needs. Download the Dave app or go to dave.com. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Oh, wait. I got it right here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Independence Day. That was the title. So I'm assuming let's talk about that movie. Your douchebag. Douchebag is misspelled, by the way. I'm reading this verbatim. Your douchebag comment on don't use mothership, you should use. They was totally lame comment. Love it.
Do you love the movies? Do you miss going to the video store, acid wash jeans, and MTV with music? I know we do. Welcome to Mike and Anthony Soda Pop Culture Club. Me, Mike, along with my co-host, Antoine.
I don't like any of my wives.
Yes, bring our take. You know, he only has one, so I hope I hold this clip.
Four.
Anyways.
Four.
You. I'm talking about you.
Me, yes. It's a quote, asshole.
Oh, okay. Bring our take on a classic movie every Monday from the 80s, 90s, and beyond, during which we will play the game and open up a six-pack of favorite scenes. We also point out a couple of generic scenes as well. And at the end of the show, we'll rate the movie 1 to 24 cans. One can is being disemboweled by a lion. And 24 cans is probably riding that lion triumphantly and, like, putting your hand in the air and drinking a bottle of bourbon or some shit, you know?
Either way.
Either way, man.
Ride that lion or let the lion ride you.
That sounds disgusting.
One or the other. Someone's getting rid.
But before all that, we want to let you know we want to do movies requested by you. And the number one way, I'm going to have Anthony explain it to you because it's awesome.
It is awesome. The number one way, check out Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. In said review, tell us the movie you want us to do. That's fucking it. Just do that. Keep your shit tight. Keep your shit tight. Do that, please.
Yeah, because
thank you.
That's what we're doing. Now, today we're doing a request.
But don't give us a review. That one fucking review I happened to catch was
amazing. Yeah. Okay.
And they didn't even ask for a movie. It was the best thing ever.
We love all of our listeners, no matter what. But we found our demographic, didn't we?
We sure fucking did.
What did it say? Do you have a copy of this?
Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Oh, wait. I got it right here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Independence Day. That was the title. So I'm assuming let's talk about that movie. Your douchebag. Douchebag is misspelled, by the way. I'm reading this verbatim. Your douchebag comment on don't use mothership. You should use. They was totally lame comment. Love it. Thank you.
But I was trying to think which one of us said that or which one of us talked about mothership. Which one of us corrected the other one?
I don't think we fucking did.
I might have used the term mothership because it is a mothership, right? Maybe. And then whatever.
All I'm going to say is I have never had enough to drink in one night to make me type like that.
You've never drank that much?
Oh, no, I have drank that much, but I'd still be able to type better than that. So I don't know, but thank you. God bless. I love it. It's good stuff, though. Made me laugh.
Now, do you want to know something? I have something that we didn't have the last time, or maybe we did. Did I splice it in? But I have a trailer. Are you ready for it?
Oh, trailer.
Yeah, I have that too, but not
I'm
for
ready
this.
For that, yes.
All right, here we go. You ready?
But there's going to be a growl in it.
Don't do this. Lions never had a lair like this. They're doing it for the pleasure.
They are not lions. They are the ghost and the darkness. We're in a race, Colonel. And the prize is the continent of Africa. We are building the most expensive and daring railroad in history for the glorious purpose of saving Africa from the Africans and, of course, to end slavery.
How many do you think they've killed?
100. Maybe more.
Do we wish the world to think that the builders of the British Empire are afraid because of a few minor difficulties with the local wildlife?
Are you sure this was a lion?
I'm going to locate Remington. I assume you've heard of him.
We're ready!
And you see a problem with that?
Actually, no.
Let's go after them.
Get him back!
The devil has come to Samoa!
I am the devil. Yeah! Stay out of my way.
You're a rather cheerful fellow when you get to know you. You don't enjoy killing, do you?
Then why do it?
Come on!
Because I've got a gift.
Ah! Shoot him!
Michael Douglas. Val Kilmer, The Ghost and the Darkness.
Now, can you control your fear? Can you?
Can you? There it is. All right. Here's our breakdown by the numbers with that shit. Directed by Stephen Hopkins and starring Val Kilmer, Michael Douglas, Tom Wilkinson, Emily Mortimer, John Kanai, and Bernard Hill, but mainly Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas, because that's all anybody gives a fuck about. But
the guy who played Sam was pretty instrumental.
The Ghost in the Darkness was released on October 11th, 1996, taking in $75 million at the box office against a $55 million budget, mostly for lion rentals and CGI. It scored 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb and 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, even though I know it wasn't really CGI there too much.
No, it was not. They actually used two real lions to film the movie. I forget their names, and only used one animatronic.
Simba and what was the other one?
No, but I'll guess it for you. But they used an animatronic one. It was Caesar and something else. I know one of them was named Caesar. But the other one
was named Salad. That'd be perfect.
But the thing is, you just mentioned Simba. Later on in the movie, when we get to it, there's a hospital scene where they attack. You can hear the people yelling Simba, 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 because that means lion. And yeah, the native language. So there you go. There you go. That's some facts. But I got another fact for you, because I love sliding doors of Hollywood. I like how things happen. Like because this happened, right? Like it happens all the time.
I can already tell you because this happened. Romancing the Stone, this happened.
Because Michael Douglas has an ego, Douglas, this happened.
This is his role. This is what he fucking does. This is his action movie role right here. That's his character.
Are you saying this is Jack Colton or whatever it was?
Yes, this is his Romancing the Stone, Jewel of the Nile shit right here.
He wanted to do a third one, but they wouldn't let him, so he did made this. But that being said, Tom Cruise was originally supposed to play Val Kilmer's role, and he couldn't do it, so Val Kilmer stepped in. Another thing is the part of Remington.
Couldn't get Maverick. He had to go with Iceman.
The part of Remington was originally offered to Sean Connery and Anthony Hopkins, but they both declined. And the producers were considering Gerard Depardieu, mistake, when Michael Douglas initially hired as a producer, but then he decided to play the role himself. So Michael Douglas is the producer of this film, that Constellation Films, that's his company, I guess.
I think any of those would have been good in this, actually.
Well, here's another one. This is where the sliding doors come in. This is what I was trying to tell you. In the early 90s, when Brian De Palma was chosen to direct the film, who's a really good director, we've done a movie by him, Kevin Costner was going to star as Patterson, like the Val Kilmer role. When The Bonfire of the Vanities in 1990 turned out to be a box office disaster, the studio withdrew their offer to De Palma, and Costner went on to do...
The Bodyguard.
The Bodyguard, your fucking movie you love. There you go. So sliding doors, man. If he does it, which we've already given our opinion on The Bodyguard, if you go back and listen to it, but it's funny how that's a much bigger movie, but at the same time, they have more chemistry with these lions than he had with
God, yes, they do.
I think that that definitely was happening. Okay, are you ready?
I would much rather watch the Lions suck their toes than Whitney Houston suck his toes in the Bodyguard.
All right, all right. Are you ready? Are you ready for the game?
Might as well.
And everybody knows what the game is. The game is where I'm going to read Anthony some movie reviews. He has to guess which one of them is fake, because one of them is out of the three.
Or I have to guess the two real ones first. How about that?
Which he does very
well. I usually do that.
Maybe we should change up the game.
I think either way I should get some credit. If I guess the fake one, great. Or if I guess the two real ones before that, I should get half a credit.
It depends on what your mind's say. If you're thinking you're guessing the fake one and you guess them, you're a failure. Okay, so are you ready, man?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, we have Forrest Hartman, Reno Gazette Journal. Excellent thriller. Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer are outstanding. Elias Mitchell, New Jersey Gazette. Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Oh my. Actually, it's just Lions and wasn't that scary. Thankfully, Val Kilmer comes through. Jeff Weiss, Desert News. What Jaws did for sharks, the ghost in the darkness may do for lions. He's speechless.
Hold on. Read the second one again.
Elias Mitchell, New Jersey Gazette. Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Oh my. Actually, it's just Lions and wasn't that scary. Thankfully, Val Kilmer comes through.
Okay. And the third one?
Jeff Weiss, Desert News. What Jaws did for sharks, the ghost in the darkness may do for lions. I think SNL already did a skit about land sharks. Candy Graham.
I'm going to guess the third one.
All right. And if I told you that
was wrong,
what would the fake one be if that one's not it?
I don't fucking know. Obviously, I didn't know in the first place.
But now you got a 50-50 shot, so it gets easier.
The second one?
You are correct. And Elias Mitchell is in the movie Clerks 2. Remember the guy named
But I never knew his last name. I wasn't even paying attention to that when you first said it.
You know, sometimes you should just read a cast list.
Fuck you, asshole. Listen, you're a dick. You sit here and you give me these names of people that in the movies they're in, they have the fucking first name and you don't ever refer to their second name or their last name. So you're stupid. And Elias, I'm sorry, Jesus, jerking off to a fucking donkey. That's what you should have said. And then I would have known.
I got to watch the third one, by the way. So I haven't gotten around to it. I know. But anyways, Elias Mitchell is his last name. And you now know that, and you will never forget it.
Oh, I will. I'll forget it. Just like everything else you say, I will forget it immediately.
Later on, he's yanking off to it.
But I will not forget about Lister Fiend.
Now.
The mouth troll.
We got to do that. But anyways, so we're here. We're on the Ghost in the Darkness.
We are.
So
your screen's still off, by the way.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Not that I care. I prefer it this way.
Ooh, do you want to see my lips move? Anyways, no. So the Ghost of the Darkness, this movie to me starts out pretty slow.
Yeah, but I mean, guess what I found? What'd she find?
I don't know. My Siri on my watch just randomly listened to me.
Here's what
I found. Something about mouth problems.
Found your penis. It was difficult. But
if Siri ever tells you she found your penis, you're in trouble.
It is there. I used the magnifying glass. So yeah, you know what? It's funny, like getting into this movie in the first place, because I'll say I've never seen this movie before this, like ever. But I remember seeing the cover of it at the video store.
Yeah,
I knew, you know, when it came out and stuff. I'd never seen this movie. It was something that I was like, you know, it's one of those like you know about it, but you're like, I could care less if I ever see it.
I own it on DVD.
Of course you do. You're a douche. But I will say, like, it didn't necessarily start out slow for me because I feel like the type of movie that it was, I don't think it actually started slow because I'm like, what were you expecting? You know?
Agreed.
And you think, like, again, the review or compared it to Jaws in a way. It's like, did Jaws start, you know? Well, I guess Jaws didn't start out slow. Never mind. But it did. I guess to you, it started out slow because it didn't have like an attack right away. So
Jaws, actually, the first thing you see in Jaws is that chick getting attacked.
Right, exactly.
Water,
that's what I'm saying. So you're saying it started out slow because it didn't have like an attack?
It didn't have much going on for a while. I mean, really, it started off as some hopeful like journey movie. Like, you know, he's on a journey and you hear the nice music and he's excited about Africa.
It's funny because like you've got Michael Douglas in this on the cover. He doesn't show up for fucking 45 minutes into the damn movie.
That is correct. Exactly.
So it's like, holy shit. And then you're like, but I will say, like, I wasn't bothered by how it started. I think part of it, too, for me is, like, I'm on a Val Kilmer kick right now. I know we kind of, you know, we just did the other Val Kilmer movie.
Yes.
With Tombstone. But with everything going on with him, too, and with, again, Maverick, which I've seen, like, 8 million times now. 37 times, probably, at least. It's like I'm more into watching Val Kilmer stuff now.
Yeah. And
I think appreciating it in a different way, I guess.
I would agree.
So like, it's like, I enjoy watching Val Kilmer right now and shit. So to me, for that reason, it didn't start out slow necessarily. I was just like, you know, watching what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, so
like, I get it.
It's one of those, like, I think if you go into this, like, had I watched this when it came out, hearing what it's about, and knowing what to expect and what I wanted to see, then I probably would have said, yeah, start out slow.
Okay. I get that. Now, I will say the few things you get at the beginning is you get his boss says he's a monster right up front. Just says, and it makes me wonder, why would you even work for the dude?
That was my, like, I made a note right away. I'm like, who the fuck would want to work for that guy?
Like, he wants to destroy the people he works for. He says it right there.
Like, fuck you, asshole. I'm out. Like, Val Kilmer already, at this point, he's got a distinguished career, it seems like.
Yes.
His track record speaks for itself. So you could actually say he is Maverick in this. He's a highly decorated captain at this point.
Colonel, I believe.
No, Maverick's captain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm talking about Val Kilmer's character.
You know what I'm saying? No, he is Maverick in this. A highly decorated captain.
Yeah.
He's really good at what he does. He's got the best for himself.
Yeah.
So I don't know really after meeting this fucking douche nozzle, is it really worth, you know, the juice squeeze? I don't know.
I'm sure your reputation could get you another fucking job.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
He's already done, like, and again, remember, we don't have fucking Twitter here. We don't have people that can badmouth you online. Your shit goes, your fucking recommendations go through Pony fucking Express.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. You know, so, the Pony Express actually was only in service for like less than a year.
Well, he got a goddamn letter from his wife to Africa. So shit was getting around.
You know,
somehow.
The one thing that's always been consistent, it seems like, throughout like the last few centuries is that the mail service works. Like,
it does.
People will not fuck with the mail service. They'll let shit get through.
It will, but.
Yeah.
People just don't fuck. I remember seeing like a year or two ago, this whole Yahoo News article thing about this fucking mail carrier that was just dumping mail.
Dumping the shit into the river or some shit.
Yes. Yeah. So they fuck with it, but you get caught.
But, you know, the problem I have is, what do you feel about the guy saying he wants to save Africa from the Africans? He says that, and then he says he wants to end slavery. It's like, I don't know. Is he a racist piece of shit, or is he an exploiter, or what is he? You know,
I really don't know.
I don't fucking know. I will say though,
a capitalist.
But that's my generic of this movie, right? Is the underlying thing is the there's a cringe factor to this where it's white colonialism, and how he, you know, and how we everything about it, like Angus wanting to convert the locals to it's a colony of the UK at the time. They didn't get their independence until the 2000s or I don't remember what year it was, but Kenya didn't get their independence
for
years.
And Angus was like more of an anarchy in the UK kind of person then.
And the labor that was down there that was mostly Indians that they paid and shipped down there and were paying like 13 rupees a day. Like, I looked into the actual history of this. So this is my generic of this is that this is a movie about a situation that is just exploited labor and abusing resources of another nation.
Well, it is.
Of Africa.
The focus has to be on the lion.
Well, yeah.
Because if not, you don't really have a movie, do you?
Yeah. But my point is that
eating people.
It's set against that. But here's the thing. What I love about it is there's the self-awareness of it that you can see in Remington and Val Kilmer. Like, they'll say things where they observe and understand that they want to work together, and it's not about exploiting people. It's about doing things. You know, it's not...
Right.
It doesn't seem as exploitive. So you see that there's a relationship, but the overarching theme just seems like that's in there.
Well, it is, but I mean, when you say that, it's like, yeah, they want to do things and build things, but at the same time, they're overlooking the fucking slave labor that they've got going on.
Yeah, they are kind of.
So I don't really...
Yeah. Well, my point is I guess, you know, and the white savior, Val Kilmer, is going to kill the lion, right?
He gets there and someone gets killed
and he's going to kill the lion.
Val Kilmer's like, I care about the 30 fucking people that have died so far, but I don't fucking care that they're working for 2 cents an hour.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Build my goddamn bridge just so I can get some fucking cred and some rep.
I agree. No, what, you know what's crazy is, you know, he's on the train and Angus is with them and they're talking about all the facts about Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my six packs is the when he talks about hippo farts and how they fart out their mouth.
That might be the best six pack we've ever had. My six pack is hippo farts.
But here's what I'm going to drop. I'm going to lay some knowledge on you right now. I'm going to give you a fact that wasn't in the movie, but made me look it up. What other animals fart through their mouth? And you want to know what it is? Sloths. Sloths emit gas through their mouth. So think of that.
All right,
if you ever hold a sloth, don't give it a kiss. That's all I'm saying.
My first six pack then is the fact that this movie made you go online and look up what animals fart out of their mouth.
Yeah, it does.
That right there is six pack to me.
I mean, I get it, but another six pack could be that I was going to say that another thing about movies set in Africa usually have beautiful cinematography, like great images, vistas.
Yeah.
Just grandeur. I just want to throw that out there. It has some beautiful shots. Like you said, exploited labor. A
beautiful place.
Hippo farts, beautiful vistas. What more can you want from a movie?
I mean, seriously, like Lyons, Kilmer's mouth farts. Oh my. What else do you need? Kilmer's mouth farts. Oh my. Lions, Kilmer's, Malfarts, oh my.
When he killed the first lion, we know that's not it, but did you think it was it? Did you not know where it was going to go from there, or what did you think?
Well, no, because that was like 10 minutes into the movie, so we...
Okay.
We would have had a lot of time to kill if that was it.
And
what the hell?
I agree. I just wondered, like, you know, I don't know how, if you were okie-doked by it at all, or thought that maybe a different plot was going to come up. 10 minutes into the movie,
15 minutes, whatever it was. I don't think so, unless there's an actual ghost. Otherwise, yeah. I know there's going to be some more shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe, maybe I was okie-doked and thought, oh God, it's a killer giraffe. Fucking shit.
Swing those fucking necks around and get you.
Oh, good God, Toys R Us is going to kill us.
Jeffrey's coming. But do you think his first plan that he had there was a good plan? When I was looking at it, he seemed pretty close to camp, sitting up in the...
His first plan. I thought you meant the whole cagey setup.
No, not that. Not that. That's the first one's his first kill, where he's sitting in a tree with Angus, and they have the thing chained up, and the goat, and he's sitting up there, and he shoots the lion, but he seemed like, to me, he was pretty close to camp. I was thinking, wouldn't you want to, like, lure it a little farther away?
Well, I don't think... I'm watching this too. I'm like, especially the second time he was up there, I'm like, sitting in a tree at night is a bad idea. Cause I'm just thinking about falling asleep, falling out of the fucking tree, breaking your neck.
Yeah. Well, you know, dude almost did. So there you go.
It made me think about, like, you know how, I mean, there are people that, and I don't know if you're one of these people, like, you could fall asleep anywhere and just sleep.
Yeah.
In that position, you know how people can, like, sleep on a plane and everything.
Yeah, I'm not perfect that way.
You could sit there and just fall asleep and, you know, not move, wake up. I'd be freaked the fuck out to fall asleep in a tree. I wouldn't be sitting up there in the middle of the night.
Unless you did, I was watching a movie where they tied themselves to the tree. Was that Hunger Games? Where they tied themselves to the tree so they wouldn't fall, so.
Okay, well, that's a good idea.
So this there you go.
Is not. Because he did fall out of the tree.
You will sleep if your body tells you to eventually. So if you're so tired that you're sleeping in a fucking tree, there you go. Right.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like a friend of mine from back in the day, when he went into the Navy, was telling me how when they trained, they had to stay up for like 3 days straight when they were doing things. Like, I just don't. How is that fucking? I couldn't fucking do that. I don't know how. I remember as a kid staying up all night watching movies and shit.
Yeah.
But I'm like, then you crash the next day and you're done.
At some point you do crash.
I stay up for 3 days straight. That's fucking insane.
I'll tell you. Okay. Here's a couple. I'll give you a couple stories on that. So when I used to work third shift at a cafeteria out of the factory, my friend would want me to go do things the next day. So I would just stay up. But then he would go in somewhere and I'd be sitting out in the car. It'd be like in the afternoon and I'd be just passed out in his car because I would have fell asleep because, you know, I'm fucking tired.
Here's all I got out of that story. My friend wanted me to stay up all night and wanted me to go do
all day after I had been up all night
and then go do things. And I passed out in his car. That does not sound good for you.
Well, he wanted to go pick up chicks and go out to eat and shit. I mean,
he did. He wanted you to do things, and you passed out in his car. I think he was setting you up for something a little bit different.
I should go back and get Brett. But no, then there's the other thing. Did I ever tell
you
the story?
His name was Brett?
I went to a convention.
It was.
I went to a convention in Merrillville, Indiana, which is just south of Chicago. And I stayed up for 48 hours, and I was into the third day. Over 48 hours, and I passed out on the third day.
I think 48 hours would be like my absolute limit that I could even fathom.
I had been up over 48 hours. I go to, I'm standing in this room with all these group of people who are there to talk about something. And I'm standing kind of in the closet. So I pass out and it looks like I fell out of the closet like a dead guy. So everybody's like, oh.
There's a lot going on with these stories. My friend wanted me to do stuff. I passed out of his car. And then this other time, I came out of the closet.
But the good part
you're painting a weird picture here.
But here's the thing. The reason I was up 48 hours because I was hanging out with these chicks. And then when I passed out, they wanted to take care of me. So it was all good. It all got taken care of.
Yeah, you really saved yourself at the end there.
Hey, it is. Now, I want to get back to the...
Back to Lions.
Now, the second time, someone dies, and the second time, right before he says, I'm going to take care of this, I love his conversation with the guy Abdullah, like the leader type of guy.
Yeah.
And when dude walks away, he says, I love what he says. He says, you're white. Of course, you could do anything when he walks away from him. One of my favorite lines.
That's a six pack for sure. Yeah.
If you want to make it one. But you know, it was great.
I was going to say, so this movie, I personally am like, it was a struggle to come up with six packs for this. Only because
I've got some, I guess.
Well, I that's fine. But I'm just saying for me, I'm like, it's one of those movies. I did enjoy it, but there was to me very few things that were like, oh yeah, it's six pack. That's awesome. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. I'm not going to deny that at all. I was surprised how much I actually enjoyed it.
Oh, I know why you did. My next question. You know, because you get, because of the gore, you know, with Angus and some of the kill.
No, not even that.
Is this a horror movie, really? No. Is this a horror movie to you? I think it is like Jaws on land.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to that later. But that's the funny thing about this movie. I'm watching it. I'm like, especially when they're talking about ghosts in the darkness and everything, and these aren't normal lions and all that. And you're kind of like, what's coming? Is this supposed to turn into a horror movie? And it never actually does.
I get you there.
You know,
I think it's just it's supposed to make you fear it, but you don't ever get to really see the full breadth of it.
It's to me, this is more like, what is it? The Village.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, any M. Night Shyamalan movie, really, when you think about it, like it's always something else out there, but never shows up.
But The Village was one of those where I remember seeing that
What's the one with the mist?
Hearing the mist?
Yeah.
What's that movie with the fog? I don't remember. This is like, you're an idiot. It's like The Village, where I remember hearing about how many people walked out of the fucking movies for that.
Yeah.
It's not all what they thought it would be. I will say this is like, this movie could be kind of misleading, because you're like, as soon as you see ghost in the title, you're almost, you know.
Yeah, and the trailer has a lot more Michael Douglas than he is in the movie.
And that too. So there's some misleading things about
and this the boss movie, is in there a
there's,
lot.
There's some bait and switch shit.
Well, that was my next question. You know, I think it's a horror movie, but I was, why couldn't the boss be eaten while they're down there? That's what I was wondering. Like, why the
I don't think it's a horror movie. I would not categorize it at that as that at all. It's like I'd say more of a thriller. Like
suspense thriller.
I was just gonna describe it. I'd say it's a thriller period piece.
Suspense it's thriller period not, piece. True story. Semi true.
Right. Not horror at all.
Because the after that second try, you know, when he does that weird contraption where he has the guys who can shoot sitting in the trailer.
Yeah. Yes.
They just were awful. Like. Well, put your gun at the fucking animal.
It's not even that. It's like at that point too, that's one of those scenes where you're like, wait a second. Are these lions supernatural? Are they just taking the bullets? Because the way it happens, you're like, are they hitting it? Or are you bad of a fucking shot? Are you that bad of a fucking shot at duck hunt 2 feet from the fucking screen that you still can't hit the goddamn duck?
They are that bad because you hear them hitting the bars. But no, I never had the impression that they were supernatural, because it's a true story. And there's never real ghosts, so it's never ghosts, you know, so like, there you go.
They play it up in this movie where you're like, are these...
These legit? Aren't normal.
Are these lions? Are they super lions or Detroit lions? We don't know.
If they're Detroit lions, they just roll over.
Or they'd be fucking, the very first lion is a Detroit lion that got killed from one shot from Val Kilmer.
If they're the Detroit Lion.
That's a Detroit Lion. That was a Matt Stafford Detroit Lion right there.
All you need is a bear to beat
down.
It.
I'm down.
All you need
I'm
was
down.
A down, Chicago Coach. Bear to beat it. Anyways, now this movie, you know, Duke calls in Remington after all that. This movie is pretty damn slow until then, and it's obviously because Michael Douglas produced the movie, and he made himself king shit.
Yes.
Cool guy in the movie. But also,
cool writer.
There's one thing you need to know is that Remington was never real. He knows, and the real true story, Patterson did it all himself. And Remington is a pure fabrication. And that's why I feel that Michael Douglas wanted to do this, because he wanted to build up the importance of that character and be the king shit coming in.
So, but it's still funny, because I was very surprised. Like, even with that, I was like, I did enjoy watching this up to that point, which I'm actually surprised I did.
Yeah.
It was good, you know, cause I went into this watching, and I was like, I didn't know what to expect. It was like, I sat there watching it. I'm like, yeah, this is not great, but I was like, this is good. I'm entertained by it.
So, I think, well, here's my thing. I have a six pack here. And it's when the lions, you know, after they clear everything out and they move everybody out of the actual hospital and they put them in the hospital tents. But I love the lion scene, the violence they capture of them attacking that hospital and pulling them back in and dragging people away and doing all that shit. I like that. And I figured that would be something right up your alley. I felt that would be like your horror movie.
No, it's not. Because here's the thing. It's not a horror movie, first of all. Also, for me, I like horror movies I'm not a horror movie animal guy. That's not a horror movie to me. Jaws.
Like Cujo?
Jaws and Cujo, I don't consider horror movies.
Yeah.
When it involves animals as the killer, I don't consider those necessarily horror movies. I call them more suspense thriller kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, for me, horror movies is just, it's a villain. It's a, you know, supernatural person or, you know, fucking serial killer, whatever it is. it's a human being of some type or
so what about
not,
Pet Cemetery?
Pet Cemetery, that's a horror movie to me, but that's okay. More supernatural.
Okay, okay. I'm just trying to find the rules. I'm trying to get the line here.
Lions and a fucking dog on rabies taken Viagra. That's not a horror movie to me. Those are just
okay.
Different things.
They didn't have Viagra back then.
Cujo did, yeah. I think that's where it came from, actually. Like, oh, old dudes need that for their dicks. Whatever that dog is on right now, get them some. We are going to market that shit. It's going to be called the blue pill.
Oh, man. So on this one, so you're saying the hospital scene, I thought it had some horror elements. As a matter of fact, what I thought about this movie was there are times where I thought it had a B feel. Even a B movie horror feel, and it kind of drifted in between high budget period piece and B horror movie feel to me at times.
Not to me, but I get what you're saying. Not to me necessarily, but again,
maybe the music that did it.
It's partly because I didn't consider this a horror movie at any point. Like I said, watching it, I was wondering, is this gonna be? Because, and this is when I say this because it's like. I really didn't know anything about this movie. Okay. I didn't research it. I remember seeing the cover of it at the video store. I never watched it. And then I, you know, just saw the synopsis of it and everything. And that doesn't even tell you anything. Watching it, you're still wondering, does it turn into like, what the fuck's up with these lions? Does it turn into a horror movie? What the hell's going to go on? I don't know. So, and it doesn't, but. So yeah, I don't consider it a horror movie at all at any point.
Yeah. It's a little disjointed. I think that's why it only did $75 million on a $55 budget is, you know, it was a little disjointed.
I don't even know about that. I think we didn't look at. I wonder what else came out around that time.
Yeah.
This was 96. So I think, didn't we have like, was this the era of Scream and shit?
Might have been Scream. You have The Craft at time.
Last summer, kind of that era. So
Con Air, that type of thing.
I think there's probably some other heavy hitters around that time.
Most likely, there probably was. Now, I have some questions for you. Well, I have a couple things. When they go searching for the lions after that attack, I really like when they go, because did you look at the scenery behind them when they're going to find that cave?
Mm-hmm.
That was ridiculous. You had like waterfalls and vistas. It's like, it's hard to pay attention to that action when you're seeing all these things you'd rather see behind them. That's the way I look at it. I don't know. I don't know if you looked at that at all.
Sorry, I was looking up something real quick.
I know. I'm looking at something while I talk. See, I'm like, you know, I have ability.
I just wanted to throw this out at you. I'm sorry. I think.
Oh, Independence Day.
No. But I also might have, because this was Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
And this was a year after Batman Forever came out. So that might have something to do with it, too.
Batman Forever was good, but kind of a bomb, too.
Right. So this is like. Do I need to see another Val Kilmer movie this year? After what he
and
then
he did at First Sight.
After what he just did to Batman?
I have some questions for you. That's one of the things I was going to say is that could he have made better career choices when you look at this? Now, if we talk about Val Kilmer, this movie's okay, but would I say this is a great career choice? And then he did At First Sight, which is kind of laughable. He did The Saint, which was felt kind of low rent for what it was.
Here's the thing. He could have made better career choices. I would almost say maybe he could have made luckier career choices. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Was it better choices or just, I don't know what he had been offered. So I'm not sure.
Okay. I've got for you the same.
He's good in a lot of stuff. Like, Val Kilmer is a great actor.
His greatest role, we've already said, but Tombstone has to be after. Thunderheart was good, though, too. Thunderheart was good.
He's been great in a lot of stuff. The guy can act. There's no doubt.
Well, he went to Juilliard, by the way.
See, oh, yes, I knew that. I saw his documentary. I know that. But it's like, I have no idea. I don't know if it's the roles that were presented to him or what he chose to do. So I don't know. It's like, you never know with somebody. Like, actors are different people.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, he's had box office success, but you know, a lot of actors too, then like get to that point. They're like, I've had success, but I also want to, I want to do stuff to prove I can really act. You know,
yeah, I get like it.
Different roles.
I wonder if that's why he took on.
I don't know. I don't know. Like,
but I want to talk about movies in October since you asked.
Okay. I asked.
Well, October 4th of the same month, because this was released October 1996. That Thing You Do.
There you go. There you go.
Freeway was on the same day.
Free Willy?
Freeway. You know Freeway.
I do. He wanted to do sex to me.
But here's what came out at the same day, on the same day that killed it. The Long Kiss Goodnight.
I think Freeway killed it.
That The Long Kiss Goodnight was a big time movie.
I think Freeway killed it.
Sleepers came out next week. Shit. I mean, that's pretty much what did it. But no, Freeway did not kill it. The Long Kiss Goodnight, that movie, what did it do at the theater? It did like $100 million, so comparatively.
Freeway is better.
Freeway is a good movie if you like really low budget Kiefer Sutherland movies.
And Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess. But she ain't the one.
She was the fucking star of that movie.
Now, I got a question for you. If you and I were going into a cave, would you let me light your lantern so close to your junk?
Why do you start stories like that?
It's not a story. He did.
I know
it's
not a story. It's a fantasy for you.
Voluntarily took a match out and lit the lantern right next to his junk. Would you trust a guy to do that? Not even me.
To do what?
To light your lantern next to your junk.
No.
Like he did for him. That's what I was saying. I thought that was a little too trusting. I thought that was a little too trusting.
No, don't touch me there. That is my no-no square.
Yeah. What'd you think of the part where it said that they are doing it for the pleasure? See, that's where, like you said, there's this aura they're trying to build around them. Like, these lions are different. Do they get pleasure out of killing humans? Or what is the pleasure? That's what you got to ask.
You know, this is what I still don't get. Like, I guess I really never figured it out from watching this. What is up with these fucking lions? Like, because these are, again, we've established they are not Detroit lions. Are they Voltron lions? What the fuck is going on here? Look, I've got Jack's Barbecue Restaurant, all bones in here. We've stripped all the meat and put it on the grill. There is nothing left but bones in here in this fucking cave. Nothing else is going on here. What the fucking shit? Who is doing this? Is this an entity? I don't know. No, so again, they keep dragging this out to, is this a horror movie? Is there something else fucking going on? And then it's not.
It's not. It never is. And that's what's so interesting.
Don't fucking lick everything off the bone.
No, as a matter of fact, they don't. Because they only eat what's useful. But here's what I want to talk about. Okay, so they go there, and then dude makes this idea up to make that weird-ass contraption for the third attempt here.
That was a sad contraption. I'm sorry. Because he went from the first one, which was great, I actually thought. The lockdown cage?
It would have worked. Right. It would have, with the right person.
It did work, but you just had... Which this went back to, are these people just that bad of fucking shots at Duck Hunt, or are these lions otherworldly? We don't know at that point.
Yeah. Well, I think they're bad. They're bad.
Must have been.
But what gets me, I'm going to
sit on a teepee-ish type of fucking thing.
I forget what he called it.
Teeter and fall down at any fucking second if the wind blows.
He's an engineer, so he built that sound.
A fucking owl attacking me.
He's an engineer. He built that soundly. But I want to say, yeah, so I was going to say the owl attack. Okay, so you're doing all this, and the fucking lion eats the baboon, and after all of that, an owl comes over and fucks with you? What the fuck is that?
That's pretty lame, yeah.
I was like, why would an owl fuck with you? It doesn't have a reason.
Yes, exactly. This ain't your turf. Why are you fucking with me, Al? This isn't even a fucking tree. I built this myself. This ain't your tree, bitch.
And you're big. You're a big
tree. Get off my lawn. This ain't your tree.
Oh, that's fucked up. So he misses that chance. Now, here's where I'm going to get to my last six pack, I believe. Yeah, this is my last six pack. And this is my last six pack. And it's the dream he has of his wife showing up and the whole hopeful little scene.
Oh, yeah.
And then, boom, she's attacked and eaten by a lion. I like the helplessness. And I think it was almost, probably the best scene in the movie, in my opinion.
No. Well,
I felt it felt you the had the most dread to it to me.
I got to say, it's not even close to a six pack for me, only because what was funny about that scene to me is I'm like, and I've told you before, I am really bad at seeing things in movies and predicting things.
Yeah.
I told you, my wife will fucking, we will watch a movie and fucking 20 seconds in, she fucking knows what's going on. 5 minutes in, she knows who the fucking killer is. Done.
You're a dumbass.
Done. And I'm like, just don't tell me so I can watch the movie because you figure everything out. That was like, I was actually kind of proud of myself where very right into that, I'm like, oh, this is a dream sequence.
So you did, you got it. Okay.
So I totally did. And I was very proud of myself because like,
but
watch as soon as I was like, oh, fuck, this is a dream sequence.
But here's the thing. I think it's a great scene either way. But what I like is when you couple that with when he wakes up, he finds that Remington was actually taken. And but, I feel that right there with those two scenes together was pretty. That was probably the best of the movie.
It wasn't. Now, here's my problem with this. With him being gone, first of all, that's where. It was almost like it's kind of jumping the shark for me a little bit. When you think of the totality of this movie, when you think of we got Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer in this shit, okay?
Yeah.
Both of them on the cover of this movie. We don't see Michael Douglas till 45 fucking minutes into the movie. Then,
half hour later,
on top of that, we don't know. Did he just get up drunk and wander off to take a piss?
Or yeah, we don't know. We can't
don't even know. He's like, they're hammered on champagne at this point.
Yeah, they're something a little early. They got one line. They got one
fucking line. There's another one out there. They can hear it, and they're drinking the hooch. And guess what? Did Michael Douglas? What the hell? Did somebody boil his bunny out there? I don't know what the fuck happened. Glenn Close might have been the one that killed him out in those fucking fields.
Oh.
At that point. I don't know. That's, to me, that's not going to be my generic, but I will tell you, it's a very bothersome point to me in this movie where Michael Douglas comes on, which my other six pack, by the way, which I hadn't mentioned, I did love when he gives it to the doctor. It's like, well, let me, anybody want anything else that I don't know I'm talking about? That's fine. But I'm going to tell you right now, people smell blood, lions smell blood and all the kids and everything else going on in here. Like when he literally laid out to the doctor, this is why you need to build a motherfucking hospital, bitch. That was good.
Yeah.
But no, the fact that we've got him, we've got this bond that they've formed throughout this, this. What 20, 30 minute segment of the movie after the 45 minutes where Michael Douglas comes on. But then all of a sudden it's like, he's the guy here, right? Okay. He's your Vin Diesel.
He's the shit.
I can drive a car through anything. How about that? He's your Vin Diesel in this. And he's just gone all of a sudden. Like,
just gone. Fucking gone.
We don't know what the fuck. Like, that to me is like, that's a huge hole in this movie.
Yeah, I like, would agree.
Really?
I don't know why they did it that way.
You went from here to here, and you could have gone up to here before.
He could have died with at the end. Like, he could have been a part of that whole chase here at the end, right?
Yeah,
like, he could have caught him. Like, he could have said, go run and let him take him so that he could get away, but then the lion pursues a little bit after. Like, they could have made so many other dramatic ways to make that death mean more, in my opinion.
I'll tell you right now, they could have even had, and I just thought about this now, they could have had where they found him. Maybe one of the lion's paws or an appendage or something where he put up a fight. He got a piece of that.
Giving us something.
Don't show us like you were this and then you're dead.
What really gets me is at the end. Let's get there. Val Kilmer's running from this fucking thing and he goes and climbs a fucking tree. Does he not know that cats climb pretty fucking well?
Hey, what else are you going to do there?
I don't know.
Like, this is not a bear attack where you just lay, or an ostrich attack for that fucking matter, where you just lay down and play dead.
And yeah, I get it. Alone. I'll give you that.
If you got nowhere else to go, you go up. What else are you going to do?
But I guess he was running. I felt that was the end had a little bit of tension, but you knew it was going to happen. You knew he was going to kill it by that time. And it was a little bit, but so it was all right ending.
Yeah, that's my generic, actually.
It was all right.
That's my generic.
Okay, go ahead with it.
The ending with the lion.
Yeah.
That was a straight up fucking Jaws ripoff, and it was bad to me.
Yes, it was. Oh, my
God.
That's why, to me, it feels a lot like Jaws on land.
In
a good way sometimes. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
It fucking was. It's like the lion crawling up to you. Like, I'm watching Jaws.
Yeah.
You really fucking just ripped off the ending of Jaws.
They did. And just straight up ripped it off. There's no
fucking bad. Like, it would have been good if Jaws didn't exist. That would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
But Jaws does exist and you fucking ripped it off.
And there was a movie when I was younger, I watched, I forget what it was, but all these lions surrounded this house. And I remember watching these people inside the house trying to get away from the lions. I forget the movie, but that one had a lot of these same tropes in it too. So yeah. I feel there's a lot of things that weren't original in that particular way. But I got one for you.
Watching that, I was like, oh fuck, it's Jaws.
But I got to remind you that this is a true story and it was,
and I got a gun just like Jaws. So.
It was a true story. Somewhat, there's some embellishments, obviously, but remember, and it was all to build what is now a useless railroad in a British colony. That railroad isn't even in service anymore at all, and it really never was in service very much when it was being used. It last time it was actually used for anything was in like 2017. So it was in the movie Out of Africa with Meryl Streep and Robert Redford. They did have it in there. The actual car, because there was an actual car that one of the lions went up into and like attacked some people. And it was actually that particular car was in that movie, but they didn't talk about it. It was just in the movie. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah. I think you said who in that movie?
Meryl Streep and Robert Redford were in Out of Africa. It's a classic. It's like very famous.
I know. I think if Meryl Streep had been one of the lions in this movie.
Oh, this movie, best movie.
Might have helped. That might have been pretty damn cool.
She has a flowing mane.
Exactly.
But I got a fact for you here. Those two lions.
Yeah.
What? Those two lions that were shot, they were actually Patterson kept them and then eventually sold them to the Field Museum in Chicago. And I have seen them. I've been to that museum.
Nice.
So there you go. And I got one more fact about this movie. It won an Oscar for sound editing, which makes sense. It has pretty interesting sounds everywhere.
Yeah, the sound. So that makes sense because the sound is.
It's good. It's really good. But the fact they won that isn't the thing. Guess who presented the award?
Meryl Streep?
No. Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
Damn. From the Oscar. They presented an Oscar to this movie. It was like lions.
Goddamn sound in the movie goes down.
In the darkness. In the Greek Cornelio.
Yeah. That's a goddamn sound I heard all year. Goddamn it.
This movie won an Oscar for sound, but it was presented by Beavis and Butt-Head. I thought that was the funniest thing I read all day. So yeah, I had to tell you. I knew you'd appreciate that.
That's good.
How did you? So you think the ending's kind of lame? Is what you're saying?
Well, it's like I said, it's a Jaws ripoff. So,
but yeah, they took a true story, jazzed it up with Jaws type theming.
Yeah, and what we got at the end was the Jaws ripoff, and then Hold Your Son Up High, which we saw earlier. Yeah.
Go hold your son up high. Speaking of that, he eventually does bring his wife and kid down. Would you have done that at all?
But this is, did they know about this before they were heading down? Or was this a planned trip? I don't know.
I think this was time had passed and they'd finished the
remember,
bridge.
Pony Express. So we don't know how long communication is taking.
Well, we know.
Fucking letters. Be here on this date and...
Well, here's what we do know. I'll tell you this. So we know that he in June was going to go down to do the bridge so it could be done by Christmas, which was 6 months. Right. So he had anybody who's going to do it in five. So we know getting there and back was probably somewhere between 1 and 2 weeks. So at that time, probably somewhere 1 to 2 weeks, probably 1 week to get there and back. So she, but I'm thinking the time had passed when she had came down, like they had already,
I don't know,
killed the lions and they had it had passed because they finished the bridge because you got to see the finished product.
It's,
at the end.
Well, it's not even that. You just killed 3 fucking lions and you're just assuming there's no more at this point.
You're
still going to have your fam come for a visit.
Well, like I said, there had been some time passed and they hadn't had an attack.
I want to get the fuck out of Africa at that point.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, you're right. I probably wouldn't have brought them down. I just said, how about I meet you in Italy or something?
You stay there. We're going to go to Japan.
Well, that's pretty far fucking away.
Karaoke.
Karaoke.
It's all good. Listen, we're very rich. Let's go do some karaoke. Azumzaki. Sorry, that was from...
What was the song you'd be karaokeing in 1898, though, is the question I got to ask you.
I think We Will Rock You, because that was in A Knight's Tale back then, so it's all good.
All right, man. So that's it. That's our take on this movie. We lot we like.
We got...
A little bit we don't like. Are you ready to do this? Rate this up?
Rate it.
Are you first or me first?
I don't remember who... You go first. I'll give you give you the pleasure.
I'm going to say that when this movie first came out, I was really digging into it because, you know, we like both the actors in it. You know, Michael Douglas. I mean, that guy's Jack T. Colton, you know, badass.
And
you got Batman, Val Kilmer.
Bruce Willis's wife and fucking Disclosure. It's all good.
We got Doc Holliday. Yeah.
My bunny.
And I even own it on DVD, so I did like it. I liked all the characters. And there were some great scenes in this movie. And to me, I mean, watching it now, I never realized that it does have some essence of a horror movie. It's not completely, but it has some of the gore, has some of the fear it's trying to impose on us. You know, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I thought there were some things I don't like. Obviously, my generic is the overarching imperialism and colonialism and the, you know, white savior type of bullshit that was going on in here. And there's some lack of chemistry. While I like Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas, I feel at times the chemistry was a little just wasn't perfect, I guess. Just wasn't down with it. But, you know, it's a good movie. It's not as good. Like, if you just said to me, Mike, rate this in 1996, I'd have probably rated it like a 19. But, see, I'm more realistic now. I look at this and I go, you know what? That was very young Mike who... doesn't know shit. Much older Mike, who has a little bit of wisdom, says this is a 14-can movie all day. This is a 14-can.
He doesn't know shit.
It's 14.
You don't know shit. You still don't. But I'm going to say, I think they did have chemistry. It's just that we only got to see it for fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because Michael Douglas does not show up until 45 fucking minutes into the goddamn movie.
With a big swinging dick.
With a big swinging dick. Yes, he does have that in the movie. So I'm told. I'm just going to flat out say, like, this type of movie is not in my wheelhouse, per se. It was good, though. And I was surprised. I was like, when I watched this, and I hadn't seen it before. I watched it for this podcast. And I was like, it's keeping my attention. And I'm actually interested in it. So that's a big thing. And like, really, with no boobs, dick, or fart jokes, it kept my attention. Like, fuck yeah, that's cool. But no, I'm going to just give this a flat out honest, in a good way, a 15.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's
not bad at all.
It's good. It is a good movie. Here's the thing about it. I was going to say too, earlier, I was going to mention, what's funny about this movie is it actually feels like a movie that, which I didn't do this, but I feel like this is a movie my dad would have watched.
Yeah.
When it came out, if I had been watching, when you're at home and you don't have control of the TV kind of thing.
Oh,
I feel like this is one of those movies I would have seen 47 fucking times, and it just been so ingrained to me. I feel like it's one of those movies, actually.
Do you know what we forgot to do, though, at the beginning of this? But we could say it now, is that this was a request.
Yes.
By a gentleman through our portal, or through our Facebook, actually.
Throw that out in the beginning. Cutting it.
No, we can say it now.
Who is it? Who requested?
I'm not going to say their whole name. Name is Garrett, is what they named.
Well, yeah, say it if they want it. Garrett.
They don't go say their last name, though. Just
all right, Garrett. I'm going to throw you a carrot. Good job. Thanks a lot. This is actually a good movie to watch.
So what's our score on this?
14 and a half. If you go 14 to 15, that's 14 and a half.
So is there anything interesting that we might need to look at around it?
Around it? I don't know if there's any other ghosts or darkness movies. Toy Soldiers, 14.75.
And they're about the same enjoyability.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's actually quite on the money with what those two are.
Oh, Leap of Faith, 14.25.
I probably gave that a higher score than you.
No, though. You gave it 14 and a half.
Oh, wow.
I gave it 14. So,
yeah, there we go. But I would rewatch all those movies though. So that's it's just they're not home runs, right? Like they're close.
No, but it's really good. This was good.
Yeah.
And it was better than I expected.
You expected a 10, you got a 15. So that's
I expected less than a 10.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's just good. But I was like, but I didn't go in with any type of bias or anything. I'm just like, I'm gonna watch it.
Now, what were the other two movies that he wanted us to do? That was Anaconda, and there was another one. I'd have to look it up.
I don't know, because my Anaconda don't want none unless you pay fees, hon.
Yeah, no. But my point is if somebody else likes some of the movies that The Girl Next Door. He wanted us to do Anaconda and The Girl Next Door. So if there's somebody else that would like us to do those movies, like if you hear that and you go, you know what, I would like that, maybe go on to our Apple Podcasts and leave a review.
Do that there, or pay some fucking money.
That too. You can go to our website and there's a place to do that. And that's the thing I like to say. Just do that. Do that
because we appreciate it. And if we're going to spend our time, spend your money.
That's true. Anything else? Is that it? I think that's good.
I think great.
Tony Tiger?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we'd like
to thank you. That's the shit. That is what every hunter in Africa eats all day, son.
Frosted Flakes. Okay. So we'd like to thank you for listening. Like Anthony said earlier, go onto our Apple Podcasts, leave us reviews, put movies in there, go to sodapopcultureclub.com, pay us to do them. We'll do that too. and make requests. You can also make requests there. It's not a guarantee we'll do it, but you can do that. Anything else?
That's it. Pay for some shit. We appreciate it. Get some merch. We have African Lion Hunter merch coming soon. Okay.